Listen, how many of you have ever heard of Douglas Yeo? Douglas Yeo. He plays the bass trombone for the Boston Symphony Orchestra and the Boston Pops. The people in his town, hometown of Lexington, Massachusetts, have even made a bumper sticker because of him. The bumper sticker reads, "Yo, Doug." His name is Doug Yeo. You got it? "Yo, Doug, get a life." Now, what is it about this peaceful musician that has made him the bad guy in town? What do you think it is about him? Mr. Yeo has two girls. He's a professional musician. He teaches at the Boston Conservatory of Music. He has two girls who are in the public schools. They have a great music program, and he wants to keep them there. And for years, he has been trying to get the abstinence message into the sex education curriculum in the local public schools. The school board told him, "Listen, Yeo, you can't. It's not possible for teenagers to refrain from sex." And poor Mr. Yeo, the musician, just went back. He said, "Well, how about me? I've only had sex with one woman in my life, my wife." Of course, the school board was not convinced by his argument. Yeo points to the original Minutemen on the Lexington Green in Massachusetts. You know, the first skirmish with the British. There were 9 dead Americans, no British casualties. But Yeo says, in the long run, there was victory. And Mr. Yeo is starting to get some favorable court decisions. He's hanging in there. I think he's a good inspiration for us where we're going today with Jude. Open your scriptures to Jude. For those of you who are new or have been away for a while, I just want to refresh you. What we're doing is we're studying a model. We're studying a model of leadership, the book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation. And to refresh you, the reason for the book, the reason for the letter, is that certain men who call themselves leaders had infiltrated the ranks of the community there. Jude is blowing the whistle. Okay, we're going to pick up today in verse 8. He says here in verse 8, "In the very same way," you got it? "These dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings." We're going to study this paragraph today. I'll just read the whole paragraph here. "But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against them, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them." In the very same way, he says, in the very same way, these men. Now, what's he pointing back to? If you were here about a month ago, he's pointing back to the situation at Sodom and Gomorrah. Throughout biblical literature, throughout really literature, especially in the Western world, what does the thought of Sodom and Gomorrah denote? When you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, what does it mean? David and I rehearsed this early today. What does it mean?
Disaster.
Total social breakdown. So he says in the same way, these men pointing back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? The dreamers are the leaders, those influencers, men who really simply have the wrong idea about how life is supposed to work on this planet. I was with a guy one day who was struggling in his marriage. And I don't know where I got the audacity. I just looked at him and I said, you know, the problem you have is you have the wrong idea about marriage. You've got to start with the right idea, the right concept. These men have the wrong idea. When you have the wrong idea, no matter how hard you try, you're going to end up in trouble. But, very honestly, one would begin to wonder. One would begin to wonder because the dreamers are the ones that make all the noise. Right? They're the ones that are screaming all the time. They reject authority, including the authority of traditional family values. And they slander celestial beings, Jude writes here. They rail against the dignity of life the way God ordained it on this planet. And generally speaking, I've come to understand what it is in general is a total disrespect for authority. They don't like the fact that God has created life this way, boys and girls, families. They don't like it. They reject it. It's a total rejection of authority. Now, right in the middle of this paragraph that we are studying today, Jude describes an episode that is found nowhere else in the Bible. He says that Michael, the archangel, apparently one time had a run-in with Satan. He says, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Something happened back there. Apparently, when Moses died, there was some dispute about how he was going to be buried or whatever it was. We're not sure. None of the scholars agree. But whatever it was, those that have the highest natures, the moral high ground, in this case, Michael the archangel, who is the Lord's chief lieutenant when it comes to fighting his battles, those that have the high ground are the most modest and restrained. The Lord rebuke you. Sometimes, men, have you found this to be true? People who are ignorant of the truth are brash. They don't know any better. Almost 25 years ago, I was searching. I don't want to get into it too much here today, but I always talk about the 12-12 syndrome. I got beat up 12 hours a day by the corporation, and then I went home and my wife beat me up for 12 hours a day. So one Sunday morning, I was found myself wandering around looking for a place to go. I thought I was in a Christian church meeting one Sunday. I heard all the dropouts had gone to this place, and I found it attractive. But the leader of the service was scorning the whole idea of the deity of Jesus Christ. And believe it or not, all the people in this meeting were laughing at the idea that Jesus was God in the flesh. Now, I wasn't a believer. I didn't really know very much, but one thing I knew, you don't laugh about Jesus Christ. That was God's grace, when you think about it, that I felt that way. I just felt a sickness in my stomach. My gosh, these people are getting together on Sunday morning, and they're laughing about the idea that Jesus Christ is God. I knew I was in the wrong place. I didn't go back. Okay, verse 10. People who are ignorant are the most brash. What a tragedy when they don't know what they're talking about and they rail and scream and shout. Okay, verse 10 here today. Finish the paragraph. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Men, when teachers distort the truth through ignorance, we're left with our physical instincts. And if these are not under the control of faith, they will destroy us. Do you know that 40%, according to one authoritative source, 40% of all the searches on the internet and the downloads deal with pornography? Have you heard that? 40%, according to one vendor of one of the major search engines, 40% of the searches deal with pornographic material. Can you think of anything more tragic than a man sitting in front of a computer downloading porno? He's all alone. He's isolated. He's like an animal. He can't get enough. And that will eventually destroy him. And that's what Jude is saying. And men, I hate to say it, but that's kind of what's happening in the world around us today. I'm a very positive person. I'm a salesman. I think positive. I don't think negatively, but you got to get realistic about what's happening around us. Jude had the same problem we have today. What is the dignified response? How do we contend for the faith in a society that is deteriorating right in front of us? Well, here's my shot at it. We have to make sure we're contending for the faith in our own families. Every day, and I have the privilege, I spent time all during the week, usually over meals, with men who are struggling. I am becoming more and more convinced that the key is male spiritual leadership in the home. People will go wild without leadership. They'll get into debt. They'll get into pornography. They'll get into immorality, family breakdown, and destruction. It all starts with a disconnect from biblical truth, the faith, which is why Jude wrote the book. It is our responsibility to guard our families against that. You say, how? Get practical. Get practical. Well, here's the practical point this morning. We need to bring at least half the creativity to providing non-economic nurture for our families that we do to providing economic nurture. Books, tapes, and abound about how to do this, but I think the key is what Jude is getting here this morning. The key is humility. You get down on your knees and you say, Lord, I can't do this. It's too hard. Help me. Humility. If you need books or tapes or anything about how to raise teenagers, about how to teach them sex education, there's no end to it. But what we need more than anything else are men who say, that is my job. Lastly today, Doug Yo is not a screamer. He's just quietly going out, working the process, and he says, I don't care if they don't like me. My two little girls like me. My two little girls like me. They think I'm a hero. They're calling me the new Minuteman. And all he's doing is quietly working the process, and nobody in town is with him. They're a little bit more liberal up there in the backyard of Hobbit, right? They're more advanced. They won't even let him put it on the agenda. Down here in our public school, I went when they had an opening for the parents to come and see it. It was rather wholesome. I thought it was very good. It hasn't happened here quite yet. We're not quite as advanced. We don't have to scream, man. We have the truth. We have the truth. We don't have to scream, but we have to be involved. To me, the most respectful way to engage people is with questions. Lastly, how do you balance, for instance, you meet a man that's struggling, you just ask him, how do you balance providing economically and non-economically? How do you provide for the emotional, the spiritual, and the financial needs of your family? How do you do it? I find it terribly difficult. How about you? I'm speaking for myself now. I find that to be, take about all I can do to keep those sheep in the pen. How do you do it? How are you teaching your children about sexual morality? How do you do it? One guy said to me the other day, you know, you need to talk to my kids. I said, no, you need to talk to your kids. If you don't know how to do it, get equipped. Okay. The bottom line, as we conclude this morning, bottom line, we have the truth. We need to respond with dignity and respect to a society that is going off the track, but we need to respond. Let's have prayer together this morning. We're finally finished with Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll move on to new material next week. Father, we thank you for the truth. You revealed it to us. There is a plan for this life on this planet. And if we follow your plan, if we are faithful to you, you will take care of us. Thank you for this humble man, this quiet, peaceful man in Massachusetts that's fighting the battle. We pray for him today as we speak right here. Strengthen him. Give him the courage to prevail and make a difference. Be salt and light as you've commanded us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.